Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the joy of the Holy Ghost, the joy of the Lord Jesus shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Oh, that the same Spirit that raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead dwelling in you and dwelling in me, what do you want that you can't get, said the Lord. Father, we thank the God of all eternity, who inhabits eternity, dwelleth in you and me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. That Christ may dwell in our heart by faith.
Amen.
People are saying, where is he? Where is he? Even Christian are saying, he dwells in your heart by faith.
Amen.
Blessed be your name, O Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for the joy rejoicing. Oh, feel like the early church, when they are going through all their labor, they come together in the evening, they begin to rehearse what they have gone through, and then the Holy Ghost will fall all over again afresh with you.
Amen.
So it is here tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We don't go by feeling, we go by faith. The judge shall live by faith.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We have been transformed to a higher glory since we enter this place.
Amen.
Praising God and testifying of God's goodness.
Amen.
We thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you. Bless your word as we read tonight, Father.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, what is it? The most prophetical generation, amen? Mm-hmm. Prophecy said, isn't it? We are in there. We pray that God's children will continue to understand the signs of the times. So, I know we are in this series, but the event of today in the nation of United States, I think it's worth just saying one or two things before we go into our service and so on, that you know. So what importance it is today and so on, you know, a new president sworn in and things like that. So, well, you know, many things about this president and what happened today. So, they said that this president that was sworn in, on his sworn in, he put his hand on a 5-inch thick Bible that has been in his family for 128 years.
Wow.
He has a Bible in the family, 128-year-old Bible, 5 inches thick. He put his hand on it. Biden did, as they sworn him in today as the 46th president of the United States. Don't forget, 60 years ago, which when we had the first Catholic president,
yeah,
in the name of John F. Kennedy, 60 years to today, when he was sworn in as the first Catholic president.
Mm-hmm.
This is the second Catholic president,
mm-hmm,
you know, in the United States history.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Not only that, you know, so today, he had a Jewish rabbi. Bless him. First thing in the morning, a Jewish rabbi.
Mm-hmm.
Catholic rabbi, Jew, and all this mixed together,
mm-hmm,
today, you know. So as a Jewish rabbi to bless him today, and all that, you know. Well, they went to church too, you know,
yes.
And
which church?
So,
Catholic church.
No, I don't.
They went to Catholic church.
Both Jew and the rabbi bless him. Then he went to Catholic church, you know, all this kind of thing, you know. So, and of course, look at the spectrum of people that he put in his cabinet. Like, whether you are gay or whatever, everybody is represented in the cabinet and so on, you know. And now, how about the vice president, Kamala Devi? Don't put they remove the air, right? Devi, D-E-V-I, right? Harris. I'm sorry, I'm just talking. I don't know why it's Devi. Yeah, Kamala Devi Harris was sworn in as vice president. What is that? The news said, Miss Harris' ascension made her the highest ranking woman in the history of the United States.
Yes.
Ever.
Hmm.
To date, many, for the first time, many years, first, United States. And the first black American and first person of South Asian descent to hold the nation's second highest office. Ever, the first woman ever to hold the nation's second highest office. Not only that, her husband, Douglas Craig Emboff, is an American lawyer and the current second gentleman of the United States, you know. Second gentleman.
Second?
Yeah, of course, you know. Second gentleman of the United States. As the husband, of the vice president, Kamala Harris, so, the first ever husband of a U.S. vice president. She is first ever.
Yeah.
She is the first. She is the first ever. First, and so on, you know. So, He's the first second gentleman in American history. He's also the first Jewish spouse of a vice president. He's a Jew. Can you imagine all this cabinet? We are the Jew, we are the Catholic, we are the rabbi, everything. Why? All kind of people that Babylon itself, you know, mingled together in war. Mm. See? So it speaks a volume for us, you know, as a student of prophecy. Praise the Lord. We're not interpreting anything. Mm. We're just telling the way they lay out. Mm. Only God knows the profound meaning of all these things. Mm. But we know from the little we know of prophecy, it just means something, man. When you say Catholicity making with Jew and all the other religions together in one cabinet, I mean, speak a volume, you know? Yes. So let us keep on.
You say Nigeria is marrying her daughter.
Oh, really?
No, it's a niece.
Yeah.
Niece.
Okay, niece.
Niece, yeah. Okay. She doesn't have a child.
Okay.
Huh? She doesn't have a child?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, so, I niece.
Okay, she doesn't
have a child.
Yeah. Wow.
Her husband children.
Okay. So we see. So we saw this thing happening, and we thank the Lord just for one thing, the peace, you know, that attended. And again, it's time for clear to open their eyes. People are not reading the Bible or listening to the word of God. They are listening to social media prophets. Mm-hmm. What a terrible state of affairs of Christendom.
Yeah,
I mean, social media prophets, they leave the Bible alone. Running etter skater over there. This was the area. Did you compare with the Bible what they are saying? Running etter skater. You know, and all that, you know. Why would you? Yeah, be quick to hear. But I mean, no, but be slow to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Check all things out if they be so. And they are propagating all this over the internet and all over the place. Whether they are true or for not checking anything. You see, we have to be very careful. Just keep an eye on the word of God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And God is answering the prayer of his people. In the midst of this, what a service we have on Sunday. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Despite all the holy bully of all kind of things, I know God should have prayed everywhere. What a wonderful time we have on Sunday morning praying. Praise God.
Amen.
Now that's how it's supposed to be until the Lord comes. Amen. We know the will of God, right? He that let him must let. Amen.
Yes.
And is letting until he be taken out of the way.
Amen.
None of this thing. By this time, there's people say the Antichrist is already. Well, we know he has been here, the man who is already here, ready to be revealed.
Yeah.
But there are certain things we have to look for before we say this is that, right? How will that be the day of Pentecost? Peter was saying, this is that, which was spoken by the prophet, right?
Yeah.
Prophet Joel. Praise God. I love that kind of testimony, amen. Don't just jump up at everything you see and begin to make things out of them, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have to be watching and pray. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you again in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What a time we are living in. Father, thank you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, tonight, let us move forward a little bit in our study of this wicked being, the archenemy of God, the archenemy of man called Lucifer, the son of the morning, the fallen cherub we call Satan, the dragon. See, Bible calls what kind of name? No, the serpent. It has what kind of names in there? Tonight I make it very short so we can pray and give thanks to God for a peaceful transition despite what have been noise around. This could have happened really if not for the prayer of the saints, amen.
Yes.
That's what we are here for. Praise God.
Yes.
Don't let Satan have it his way, amen.
Mm-hmm.
When the time is not yet, yes. So you take our stand and God is faithful. Praise God.
Amen.
Anyway, so tonight Satan's rebellion, the creation of man. And redemption of man. He didn't even know what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Even his rebellion led to the creation of man and also later on the redemption of man.
Mm-hmm.
So, as we learned earlier on, Lucifer's plan of subverting the angels of heaven fell short of winning the vital majority of the angelic host. He failed in that. He thought he was going to win all of them, you know. And Satan evidently thought his chances of success. They are good enough, he thought, to discount the possibility of failure. He thought he can never fail. You know, that's what he thought. You know, people go today, they think they just look invisible, right? No, not so, only God. You have to have God, you know. Yet, even in the event of failure to win the majority of the angels to his side, Lucifer did not consider that all would be lost. He never knew that all would be lost when all is said and done. And events were to prove that he was, at least in this case, almost right, you know. Indeed, Lucifer's plan was a masterpiece of cunning and treachery. It was. If you look at it carefully and so on, that you know, it was a betrayer that exploited to the full the great trust that God had reposed in him. That's what it was. How shrewdly his plans were laid, you know, laid. I mean, how shrewd they are, it's, you know, it's evidence by the fact that even the initial phase of his rebellion made a shocking inroad on the angelic population. At least one third, that's a lot, you know. I mean, follow this, you know, wicked being, you know. No less than one third of the heavenly host was persuaded to throw in his law, throw in their laws with him. That he secured so large a following reveals the magnitude of the rebellion, as well as widespread sympathy he had aroused for his cause among this angelic host. It is only too evident that he had been able to sow discord, that way, discord and dissatisfaction among the angels against the living God. That's what he did. Lying, you know, probably doubt concerning God's wisdom. He lied about God's wisdom and goodness. That he lied to them, and they bought the lie, you know. So don't forget, at the end of the age, if it were possible, I deceived the very elect too. But thank God it won't be possible. Praise the Lord. Now, an age-old question. Question that have been classic since time immemorial is this. Why did God, after the devil rebelled, why did he just punish and just get rid of him like that? You know, why did he just do that? He could have done that too, you know, he's God, right? Why didn't he do it? It's an age-old question, you know. Well, why did God permit Satan freedom to continue on in his evil course? Well, there are many reasons, but one stands out, and that is this. In seducing as many as one third of the angels, must have succeeded in bringing into very serious question the goodness and the justice of God. You see? Yeah. No. Now, for God to have a kingdom that will be enduring, he must execute justice that is compatible with the conscience of all his subjects. That's one thing about God. He wanted to do that, you know, for all his creation. In the case of Lucifer, God considered it necessary to demonstrate that Lucifer's rebellion was altogether the wicked, treacherous, and infamous thing that it was. I want to show all the creation these things about Lucifer and so on. Moreover, he must give the universe an opportunity to observe how rebellion perverts holy things into wicked and vicious creatures. See, it shows the creation how rebellion, you know, perverts holy things or holy beings too into wicked and vicious creatures like Lucifer. Can you imagine how highly placed he was? Look at what rebellion did to him. God wants all his creatures to know, to see that and so on. Now, before executing the requisite punishment on Lucifer, God will first demonstrate the awful character of Satan's act so that all will know it of his creation. He will give his subjects opportunity to witness the terrible consequences that must follow the introduction of sin into the universe. God wants all his creatures to see that. Well, in summary, God will justify the wisdom of his laws in the eyes of his creation, of his creatures. Satan, essentially selfish. He is selfish. You know, he was, he is, and selfish. Contended that, here is Satan's thought, that no man serve God because he loves God, but only for what he can get from God. That is his thought, you know. How do we know that? Well, we know it very well concerning Job, right? Mm-hmm. When God told him about Job, you know. So the devil's view of this respect, you know, is evident in his conversation with God concerning Job. God had called Satan's attention to Job's integrity and faithfulness to him. The devil's snaring reply was that, does Job serve God for naught? See, that is his own thinking, that does Job served God for naught? So he insinuated that if God failed to continue to show or shower blessing upon Job, the latter would turn against him. That is all in Job 1, 7 to 11. I won't go there. We all know that story about Job, right? So he perpetuated that, look, they don't serve you for nothing, and then they get something from it. That was his thought and so on. You know? Satan's doctrine was that every man under the surface was like himself. No, that's who he is, and who he was, who he is, and so on. That will get something for us, you know. In other words, he was telling God that men serve him only as a cold business proposition. You see, that's it, and that's what I've been coming up in this series and so on, that, you know, that we talk about the 11-hour workers, right? Those who come early, they call their son, they make a cold proposal to God, to the nobleman and so on. 11-hour worker, see, whatever you give us, we just take, you know. And they got more, praise God. They work only 1 hour and they got more. So that's how to deal with God. Lord, do as with me as it pleases you, amen.
Amen.
Oh, you know, you see, Bible says that he will do exceedingly and abundantly above all you can ever ask or think.
Amen.
Ephesians 3:20, amen.
Amen.
If you can just trust him that way, brethren, how wonderful will this be, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So, you know, sometimes we just limit ourselves, really, you know, and praise God. Anyway, so we see that right there. So, and his plan, you know, it just fell into the hand of God, really. God's plan to create the human race. So, Lucifer and his angels, after being ejected from heaven into the heavenlies, laid plans to continue their rebellion. That's what they had. They were chased out of heaven into the heavenlies. The overall strategy was to force a miscarriage of the plan of God. That's Satan's purpose and his fallen angels. But not being all wise, he was not all wise, you know. He was asking, you know, how to wait and see what step God will take. He cannot do anything. He always has to wait to see what God does. Then we took a counter action. That's what he does all the time. Counterfeiter, isn't it? You know, everything that God has to counterfeit it. That's all he does, you know. So you have to wait and see what God will do. Then you take a counter action. That's what he does. So God's next move soon became apparent to him, or soon became evident. What was it? The defection of Lucifer and his angels had left a void in the ranks of heaven. He did. Yeah, their departure from heaven, their being chased out of heaven, has left a void in the ranks of heaven. You see, I must be filled. Amen? It has to be filled. So, now, God being God, he cannot change from a cause that he has chosen. Malachi 3:5 told us, I am the Lord, and I change not.
Amen.
God has a purpose for every creature he has created. If that creature fulfills that purpose, well and good. But if any of the creature that he made will not fulfill God's will, the divine purpose must be achieved, notwithstanding. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It has to. He is God. You know, that will be fulfilled. So we have an example in the Bible, in the case of Saul. You know, and it's, God promising that, chosen that will be his king over his people and things like that, you know. But what happened to Saul? Saul failed to carry out the divine plan. What happened? God raised up another king called David in his place. Amen?
Amen.
That's how God, what God does, you know. Yeah, you put on there. When you fail, it will not stop God's purpose. Amen? You have to go on. You know what happened to him? That is in 1 Samuel 13. I think let us read that 1:13 or 1 Samuel about Saul and things like that. You know what happened to him? You're not a priest. You're just a king set over the people and so on that, you know. There was a seer in the land, the name of Samuel, right?
Amen.
And you are given your own role. Want to make a sacrifice? He couldn't wait. He couldn't wait for Samuel was too late for him, right? God was too late, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so he couldn't wait. God was too late. See, anyway, in 1 Samuel 13:13. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. If you have been waited, if you have been humble, if you don't become so big in your own eye, It was where with you when you were small in your own eyes. I like that language. It's in that in First Samuel. When he was small, it's in his own eyes. God bless him, you know. When people begin to grow wings, you know, then they know as well that they don't remain humble anymore. Anyway, but now the kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be captain over his people. Because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. What we are saying is this: when God puts a man somewhere or a creature of his, and they rebel and they don't fulfill, God will raise another one up to fulfill that eternal purpose. Because he didn't make a mistake when he said this, you know, this thing will be filled, the position will be filled. He didn't make a mistake, so he will do that. So although Lucifer and his angels refused to fulfill God's purpose in their creation, the Lord had no intention of permitting his purposes to be frustrated. Mm-hmm. Though Satan fell and all of those angels, so God won't allow that to disturb him or remove his purposes. He will raise up others who will take the place of those who rebelled. See, he always does. Like I just showed you now in the case of Saul, no, and David and so on. Lucifer, having made vice regent, like we went over and over again, over God's creation. Now, God proposed to create a new race. A new race to fulfill the purpose wherein the devil and his followers had failed. A new race altogether. See, you can see now where we are standing with God. You know, and so God said to man in the beginning, when he created him, in Genesis 1:28, God said, multiply. You see, God said, multiply and replenish the heart. That is the command in Genesis 1:28. Now, what is replenish? It means refill, right? We are saying that when a creature of God fails to fulfill God's purpose and so on, God will replace them, amen? Replenish means to refill, right? There was a race before Adam. Praise the Lord. Amen. That was what we are learning from the book of Genesis. There was a race. Say replenish. There was a race before that right now. So replenish that. So say replenish means to refill, indicating that man was to take the place of a previous race. Mm-hmm. That's right. You know? And in the same way, the same word was used in the case of Noah. God told us to replace the heart, right? Mm-hmm. Why? Because they wiped out the antediluvians, right? Yes. The same thing. So, and in the same way, Noah was commanded to replenish the heart that had been depleted by the flood. That's in Genesis 9:1, and I read. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the heart. So before Adam, there had been a race that was gone, wiped out because Satan has fallen. He was in Eden, right? Come to that. As Satan once had dominion in Eden, he had dominion in Eden. So God will create a new race of beings in his own image, you and me, you see, and place them in Eden. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was there in Eden before God said so, and he had dominion, right? Then he failed God in Genesis, in Ezekiel 28, the 4th verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden. That's right. The garden of God. He was in there. He had his dominion and so on, and he failed. And God has to replace, I don't know, by people of his own image. You know, we created in his own image. God always does that, you know. So as Satan once had dominion over God's creation, so God will give the man the renewed heart. That's why we see Genesis 1 and 2, that is a great, great thing that happened in there, you know. So, in the beginning, God created that word is bara. In the beginning, God created, that is bara, that's the original creation. All of a sudden, that's a void. What happened in there, that's the whole story, right? Jeremiah told us of it and so on, that, you know. Anyway, so what happened later is just the creation. So anyway, so we see that right there. So God had to, you know, God now made us in his own image. And what did he do? The dominion now is given to us. Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. See that? And subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So we see, we're talking about Satan's rebellion. See, now creation of man. When he failed, the creation of man. Now, of course, he think the next page now, you know, it caused man to fall, right? A redemption. Now, let's go forward now, see. So, Satan plans to continue his rebellion, right? As soon as Satan saw the unfolding of God's plan, he moved into action. Like I said, given the opportunity, he will prove that this new race that God has created will follow him instead of God. That's what he did, you know? And as we shall see, God gave him a chance to prove his point, you know? And, you know, God has something to prove also. Yeah, Satan, you're going to prove your point. But I myself, the Almighty, I have something to prove also. What is it? If he could find men, if God could find men who would stand true to him under temptation and trial, then he could shut the devil's mouth. Amen? Praise the Lord. Because he has boasted that does Joseph go for nothing? You see what I'm saying? You know, God has to prove something like this. I have people that a new creation that I made that will not all follow you. That's God's own thing. I don't know that, you know. So anyway, in order to prevent the devil from ever having any further excuse, God gave him the opportunity to do the testing. He gave me an assignment to go and do the testing. You know, the devil lost no time anyway in going to work. In the Garden of Eden, you see, he tempted Eve. And what happened in there? And we know he succeeded in seducing her at the very first trial. He did. By this act, what happened? The devil introduced a murderer by the name of Cain into the world. He did. And that is in, we are told in 1 John 3:12 to clarify, not as Cain, who was that wicked one, but that act and so on with Eve introduced a murderer like himself. The Bible says a murderer from the beginning, his own son, Cain, into the world, right there. So it looked as if Satan was winning, winning the contest, right? For in the course of time, whole generation yielding to his seduction came under his sway. So what happened thereafter, you know, look as he was winning, right? Nevertheless, there were some things that Satan had not foreseen. He's not all knowing like God. He knew a lot, but not all things. Anyway, what happened? Despite his successes, he was never able at any time to corrupt every man belonging to that generation. No more that he was able to convert all the angels in heaven. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So also at any time in the history of this world, he was never able to survive all the people upon the earth. God always had a remnant. Amen? Amen. All the time. So you see. There were always some who kept their faith in God. So we know. When generations fell away, I mean, before the flood, there was Enoch, amen? Amen. Enoch was there, you know, who walked with God. Despite that, the way that he walked with God. And even one day, you know, I prophesied, the Lord's coming. Thousands and thousands of his saints coming with them and saying, warn them, you know, before the flood and so on, you know. When the antediluvian's word went into apostasy, what happened? Noah obeyed God, the word of God, and prepared an ark to the saving of his household. Praise the Lord. Amen. So in this age, Laodicean church age, God has his elect. Amen?
Amen.
He said they were rich and have need of nothing. Not even know that they are miserable. They are blind. They don't even know it, you know? God has his own elect. They are Nazarene to the Lord. Amen? Amen. Separated unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. Always. Amen. So no matter how bad this age is, no matter how the church have deserted him, no matter how they have not been following the word of the Lord, God has a remnant.
Amen.
They are little known as David. Prophecy said, amen?
Amen.
They are veiled. God's elect are veiled from the world church. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The world doesn't know them. Only God. Having this seed, the Lord only knows those who are his, amen? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So we know that. So you see, Satan discovered to his embarrassment that There were always a few that would not yield to his seductions. Somehow, God always succeeded in preserving a righteous seed on the face of the earth. He always does. This must have been extremely frustrating to the devil when he saw success so close to him, I thought, within his grasp, only to have it elude him again and again. There is always a remnant that follow God. Praise the Lord. You know, that's his lesson. You know, now for the angels, he couldn't get all of them, right? The new rain, God, but for what they are, he think we get all of them. He couldn't. He never learned his lesson. He deceived his own self, really, you know. Anyway, in finishing up this night, very short tonight, notwithstanding, there was something that always gave the devil confidence, you know, deceiving himself. Man was now a fallen creature. Thought he got it all. You see, talking about the rebellion of Satan, the creation of man, and his redemption. See? So, he thought he got it all, you know, and had not, according to him, had not angels fallen, and had they not forfeited all prospect of ever returning again into the favor with God? What about man, he will think, you know? How could he be redeemed from his fallen condition that he has brought mankind to? How? He didn't know anything about that, right? What is the answer? Even with this question, what will to the fallen man, to him, there's no hope of man, he has fallen, right? Bible says, don't you know the temptation you look for? Bible says, if you just bow down and worship me, he show him all the kingdoms of the earth, right? If you just bow down and worship me, they shall all be thine. For it has been delivered unto me, the transference of the dominion from Adam to the devil when he fall, right? He thought it would be forever, right? No, Satan, it won't be forever. So, we can understand why Satan should be baffled. For even the righteous angels apparently knew nothing of the grand plan of redemption that God had in reserve. Amen? See? From one thing to the other, even you know, so if it had been in Eden, he had been in Eden, and when that happened, God brought a new race, human being and son, you know? He caused them to fall. You think that that is the end? No, that's not the end at all, you know. So anyway, when it was finally revealed, it startled even the angels. Bless your heart for reading 1 Peter. I will read from there again tonight, amen. I love the Holy Ghost, amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Part of what I read tonight. So I'm saying that even the angels don't know the plan of redemption, amen. They didn't know it. So how can Satan even just know it? They didn't know everything. Anyway, part of it in 1 Peter 1, 8. Whom, having not seen the Lord Jesus, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of his salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you and me. Amen? See? Now, one brother once said one time, 100 years ago, the brother lived here, he said, I just wonder, when I see Christians sigh, you know, instead of rejoicing, you know, he said, I face a lot of tests, you know, but he said that he learned his lesson, you know, to rejoice through it all, amen. Mm-hmm. And the song writer said, through it all, I learn to trust in Jesus, I learn to trust in God. You see, so as we learn to respect him, so praise the Lord. So this one, 100 years ago, you know, he learned his lesson, so you know, to rejoice through every obstacle. When we know we have a standing, glory to be revealed in us. Anyway, so we go to verse 10. Verse 11. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported among you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Now watch this one. I read all those things to bless us to come to this particular place. Which things the angels desire to look into. They have no plan. They have no nothing knowledge of the plan of redemption. Amen. Mm-hmm. Satan didn't know nothing about that, you know. So it comes as a shocker to him. So let me just read the rest of that scripture before I just close with them, because they are so sweet. Verse 15 goes to say, "But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye be, if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, then pass the time of your sojourning here in fear." Not the tormenting fear, brethren, amen. The fear of the Lord, amen. Not the fear of the devil, amen. Not the fear of sickness. Not the fear of death. Not what can man do unto me, amen. But not the fear of man. The fear of man bringeth a snare, amen. The Bible tells us, amen. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. Praise the Lord. That's the kind of fear we're talking about here. Praise the Lord. Now, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was, I love this one, but was manifested in this last day for you and me, amen. Praise God. He was manifested for you and me, you know. Who by him do believe in God. I always tell myself, I know not God until I knew Christ, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know God until Christ came to my life. Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Praise the Lord. Amen. So again, so the angel have no knowledge about the redemption that is to come. So this man himself has no knowledge of the redemption that will come to man. So if righteous angels were taken by surprise by God's plan of redemption, we may be sure that the devil, Lucifer, had not anticipated it himself, you know. Amen. Didn't, you know. So however, the plan of redemption was known to God from the before the foundation of the world, amen. He knew all these things. He called the end from the beginning. See? So, and it was this undisclosed plan that will assure Satan's defeat. Finally, Satan, essentially a selfish being, could not conceive and therefore anticipate so noble a thing as God's plan of redemption, that Christ will divest himself of eternal glory, will come in flesh and die in the sinner's place. He couldn't conceive that. He couldn't. It was above him. God hid it from him, you know. Satan's lack of foresight in this respect was to prove his undoing. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. So tonight, just in the nutshell, but what a blessing. Yeah, he rebelled. Now, let the creation of man, all this God knew from the beginning. Oh, I will cause man to fall. They will all follow me. Didn't learn from the angels. He couldn't get away all of them, you know. In every generation, a seed shall serve him. Mm-hmm. It shall be unto the Lord a generation. God always has his remnant. Praise the Lord. Didn't learn that and so on. Cause him to fall. So that is it. He couldn't win all of them. So he thought it's such a redemption. Praise the Lord. Amen. One phase of his rebellion. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you for his blessed hope. Thank you for redeeming. Bible says, who redeemed our life from destruction? In the name of the Lord Jesus. He has redeemed all from the hand of the enemy. Let the redeemer of the Lord say so. Whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Lord, we worship and we adore you. Redeemer for the cause of the Lord. Christ was made a cause for Galatians 3. Christ has been made a cause for that the blessing of Abraham might come unto us, and we have it through the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for taking away from the usurper the dominion of the earth in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving us power over all his power. Behold, I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy. Luke 10:19. Lord, we thank you. And nothing shall by any means alter. Not only are we given the dominion, we can order men around. Receive the devil and he will flee. He won't even walk. He will flee. All in the name of Jesus is what we need. We fail because we try to do it ourselves. No. It's in the name of the Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. They overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Mm-hmm. We become invisible by the word of God. Bible says the wind blows where it listeth, and thou knowest not whether it cometh or whether it goeth. So are they that are called or filled with the Spirit of God. We become invisible as it was with the devil. We order men around to let go of those whom he has held captive, where we ourselves have received, and we are using our dominion. Lord, we can set other people free. Yes. Bible says, where men are cast down, that shall say there's a lifting up.
Amen.
And then he shall deliver the island of the innocent.
Amen.
And how did he do it? By the pureness of your hand and of my hand. No, the writer said, the entire writer said, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Power of delegation. No, you see, we are ambassador for Christ. John 14:12 says that he that believeth on me, what that I do, shall ye do also. And greater what than this shall ye do, because I go to the Father. Lord, we thank you for all these unlimited possibilities of faith in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, like David of old, teach our hands to war, Lord, and our fingers to fight. Our own is not with the physical sword and things like that. No, it is the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank God that there be opening of eyes to your children, growing up unto you in all things. That is a mark. That is, to the stature of, of Christ, day by day, growing up unto you in all things, in the name of the Lord. We thank you for our privileges in Christ. We are not a victim. We are victors, more than conquerors, through him that loves us. Lord, day by day, we open our eyes to the fullness of our rights and privileges in Christ. Thank you for blessing us tonight, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So tonight, Brother Benjamin will be leading us, helping us in the prayer session. Praise the Lord.